您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。 The spat between Taobao and the country's commerce regulators has escalated as Taobao is filing a complaint over what it calls improper supervision.The spat was triggered by a controversial quality inspection report, which accused Taobao of failing to properly deal with vendors selling fake goods on the Taobao website. 国家工商总局近期公布的2014年下半年网络交易商品定向监测结果，最终演变成了淘宝与工商总局之间的一场口水大战。So first of all, what happened exactly and why was there such a spat?
So first of all, the State Administration for Industry and Commerce, or SAIC, published a quality inspection report on January the 23rd, which gave Taobao the lowest ranking in terms of certified product rate. And the report listed five problems in the company's shopping platform, which we'll talk in a little bit of detail later.But it seems that these aren't really the problems that only Taobao have, such as like loose access requirements, lack inspection of commodity information, chaotic management of sales, and other things. And what's quite interesting is thatSAIC's sample test showed that only 37% of the surveyed commodities sold on the Taobao website are authentic, lower than the 59% average of major online shopping platforms such as Jingdong.com. And it just seems like the authorities are trying to position these rivals in the spotlight and coming to a conclusion with very little evidence, as it later failed to present a conclusive evaluation to prove that its conclusion has the right footing that would convince people.
Yeah, I mean, it's really unclear. I mean, what was the whole point of this inspection anyway? It doesn't really seem like an inspection, because now the SAIC is calling it a survey. It's not an inspection anymore. It's a survey. We were just doing a survey. And so why were you doing the survey? Should government organizations be doing, you know, certification surveys that have no legal backing, that have no enforceability? What is the point? Why exactly was this done in the first place? There's a lot of questions, why this occurred and what impact, if anything, it's going to have, whatsoever. But I think that really what we find is that, looking at the information made available to us is that, it seems that the SAIC kind of targeted Taobao in a certain sense, for greater inspection, or, you know, greater, with a bigger magnifying glass, you might say. And so if we look at the number of items inspected for Taobao, it was 50, it was 51. For JD.com, it was 20. For YHD, so Yihaodian, it was 10. And then for Z Online, Zhongguansun Online, it was only 1. Right? And so obviously they don't really care too much about ZOL.com at all. But either way, I mean, you know, you look at the product volume of all of these platforms, not just, I mean, in terms of, the sales volume, which is phenomenal, but just the different types of products, and to only take 51 or to only take 20 and then, you know, say that this company is better than the other company because of this randomized sample of a very small number of products, it doesn't seem to make any sense to me.
Yeah, that's the major question I have against the so-called inspection, or later termed survey, that the authorities has carried out. And of course, Taobao is not going to sit back and just let this happen, especially considering that now it's finished its IPO in the U.S. And of course, it fired back and said it's being unfairly treated. And I think Taobao's response has been quite interesting as well, because of course, it's making all these accusations against this, so to speak, inspection, but it's only targeting the person who has been carrying this out, which is Liu Hongliang, the bureau chief of SAIC. And trying to make it, sort of confine the damage range, I suppose, but making it sound a little bit personal in a way, too.
Yeah, because they do not want to antagonize the whole government department.
But not just that. I mean, you know, even the SAIC, when they were doing the inspection in inside the report that they published, they made it personal themselves, even calling, you know, saying that the CEO and executive officer shouldn't be so arrogant and narcissistic. And so really, I mean, when it comes to making it personal, the SAC in this sense,
equally,
not saying it's right necessarily for either party, but in that sense, the SAC kind of started it.
Yeah, and I think Xiaohua, when you said this is a spat, I can't think of a better word to describe the whole thing, because now we've talked about two rounds of the spat, right? And then later on, there's a further response that the SAIC published a white paper regarding the issue and further criticize Alibaba Group on like multiple infringement of general administration of work arrangements, like network monitoring department and a whole bunch of things. But it later took this white paper off its website very quickly. And I think its action just totally diminishes its credibility. And for a central government organ to come out with these sort of, I don't want to call it an accusation, but, you know, speculating the market and coming out with these big statements, shouldn't you have better evidence and backing of whatever you're trying to argue? And that I don't really see here.
And also, not only the white paper, which is a little bit funny because the government department is publishing white paper targeting a single company.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It seems to make no sense. But towards the about the accusation that the department makes, which is that Taobao sells fake stuff or disqualified stuff, you know, some people were laughing that, you know, it is a fair judgment because we all know that there are plenty of fake stuff and not qualified stuff on Taobao, but then not only on Taobao. So,
well, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, really, I mean, I think that there's a few different things going on here. I think on the one hand, the Chinese government is under continuous pressure from outside, from other governments, from other industry bodies, but in more and more domestic pressure from domestic companies to do something about IP infringement. And online is the number one place to buy fake, to buy knockoffs, to buy things that pass themselves off as real. And if you want to buy that type of stuff, well, going to Taobao in particular is usually the best place to do so. And so in that sense, you know, this kind of shows on the one hand, the central government, they're very willing. They are very zealous in terms of, you know, showing everyone that they're serious about IP infringement. But then Taobao is the easiest target. And this is a problem for Taobao because they also are very serious about IP infringement, or they want to seem like they are very serious about IP infringement. And so I think that's really what's kind of going on here. Both sides are making these very, very bold statements because no one wants to actually, you know, take a real hard look at the actual situation, which is everyone's doing it and it's very difficult to stop.
Yeah, and I think we have finally addressed the elephant in the room, that it is a problem that is ubiquitous, that it's not just online, it's also offline. And I think it's because it's so prevalent offline in the first place that when you go online shopping, it's just easier and everything is reflected more online, I suppose, that yes, Taobao and all those other website e-commerce platforms are great places to find anything you want. And that includes fake goods, especially when you search online with whatever product and add 同款. So
that's
the same
style or
same product, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, those are called knockoffs, though. They're not necessarily fake, right? It's different. It's a small difference, but
conceptually it is different.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of a similar kind of thing, but I suppose it's not stepping the law that much. Anyway, this news has sent Alibaba's share down by more than 4% in New York.
Which is a lot of money, actually.
Which is a loss of 11 billion US dollars.
But apparently Ma Yun is still the richest guy in China, because the second guy still has like a 20 billion yuan to catch up to do. Anyway, despite the stock price tumble, do you think it's a good idea that Taobao seems to have reversed its, you know, previously obedient attitude and try to fight back? Because usually when a government watchdog says you need to do this, what you do is to say, sorry, we're going to try to do this. But, you know, that's not what Taobao is doing. Is it going to bring it any good?
Well, I think it's interesting, too, because, I mean, looking at this white paper that was published by the SAIC, it was actually compiled during a closed-door symposium between Alibaba and SAIC. And so one has to wonder, I mean, if Alibaba, you know, she doth protest too much, you know, because it seems that in fact, the SAIC and Alibaba have cooperated many times before on this type of issue. And the thing is, for Alibaba right now, according to a corporate governance activist based in Hong Kong, this might actually open them up to prosecution under the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, because they are listed in New York, in the United States, which means that they are subject to U.S. law as a company as well. And so that might be a possible reason that they're being so loud about this, saying, hey, you know, We are not involved with the SAIC. We do not have, you know, a quote unquote good relationship with them and things like that. I think on the other hand, this does raise a lot of questions about government credibility, unfortunately, because also the SAIC response to all of this does not give me very much trust in them. I mean, if in fact their inspection procedures are this brittle, if in fact the personalities running, you know, the egos running the SAIC are so fragile, I mean, can we trust them to be, you know, trustworthy regulators of industry and commerce?
Those are some good questions. And certainly, I think Alibaba has all the reasons to act tough this time, considering, yes, it's just finished its IPO in New York. And I think, but it's still important and interesting to see how it is going to deal with its relationship with the government under this overall context.
Mm. And also, is this spat going to help check fake goods at all? That is the question. And I want to add in Christopher's comment on WeChat. Christopher is saying, here's a joke about the situation. So Taobao is like a landlord who just built houses and storage room and rent it to people who make money. But then there are people who sell fake products in the store, and then Taobao cannot do anything about it but to make more rules. And then there comes the government who raided the store and arrested the landlord, and so there wouldn't be people making fake things.
Well, this is very similar to what we see under the Digital Copyright Millennium Act in the United States, where companies and websites like Google, for example, are considered safe harbors. Torrent websites got away with this for a long, long time because they did not ever actively themselves as a platform infringe upon anyone's IP or copyright. Google, for example, linking to torrents of pirated TV shows, for example, they themselves were not infringing upon anyone's IP or copyright. But however, in the case of Taobao, I don't think that necessarily applies, because they are actually hosting these stores. And so in that sense, stores and sellers have to apply. There is a registration process. There is a payment process where Alibaba gets a certain percentage of each sale. And so to say that, you know, that they can act as a safe harbor, I don't necessarily, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me.
And actually, I think Alibaba has made some efforts to address this counterfeit problem on its website. And it includes a few things, including that if it receives reports of counterfeit goods being sold on its website, it will deal with it, etc., etc. But here comes the problem that often if the people who are on the website are looking for counterfeit goods, I don't think they'd be reporting.
Well,
right?
This is similar to what happened with Baidu and the argument that they've had with artists, music artists and authors a couple of years ago, where they said that, yeah, you know, if you tell us, we'll take it down. But that's being a little disingenuous, because there are ways to create algorithms. There are ways to have your own internal supervisory body to make sure that there are no infringements. But the problem is for Alibaba, for Taobao, for Baidu, for pretty much any company, I mean, offline and online. I mean, the downside of IP infringement, it just doesn't bite hard enough. Mm. I mean, they'll actually end up spending more money on having some type of internal oversight than they would on fines, fees, or legal cases.
Yeah. So in the end, Taobao is not innocent. No matter how it diverts attention to the government being incorrect or unscientific in their research, they're still not innocent.
Well, they're not innocent, but certainly the claims from SAIC perhaps are not very well founded.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why this spat is going to lead nowhere.